Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Vanity Sanderson.
We are delighted that you are joining us here for Season 4.
Our book, Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles, is 1 year old. And people have been in touch from Mexico, the US, New Zealand, Brazil, Belgium, and of course the UK.
We are so excited that you are here with us today, and you can find us at circleholding.org.
Welcome to this episode with Julia and Tessa, and today we're in a reminiscing kind of mood. We were thinking back to some of our first circles, and we thought we'd share some stories with you that are in the book, and just why we love circles so much. So, Julia, would you like to start us off from a little excerpt from the introduction?
Yeah. The power of circle. In school, we're taught to debate. Importance is placed on having the ability to win an argument. We're also taught how to sit down in silence and listen to a figure of authority. To only speak when spoken to. To put our hand in the air if we want to speak, or be picked upon to speak if requested by a teacher. Our basic needs, for example, to go to the toilet if we have our period, are questioned. At the dinner table, if we ever sit with others to eat dinner, we probably talk over each other and interrupt. We are offered daily examples in the media of politicians braying at each other and shaming others' views. Circle provides a different way, a space for us to know that our voices can be heard without ridicule or risk of violence. Somewhere we are given the opportunity to learn listening skills. We have often wondered what the world would look like if these skills were exalted and taught. And in this book, we share many examples of where these skills are used in circle gatherings to transform lives.
Oh, it gives me goosebumps hearing you read that.
What we did in this book is we have shared our stories and other people's stories. So the next few excerpts that we're going to share are stories from our own lives. Over to you, Tessa.
Yeah, so I'm going to read about my circle, which is still ongoing, but when it started, it was a red tent. So I started my red tent out of a personal need to connect with other women in my community of different ages and out of a wish to learn more about others' experience of menstrual cycle awareness. I started the puberty circles with tweens because of a desire to provide girls with the knowledge that I saw was so valuable to women in the red tent. I began charting my menstrual cycle with a view to conceiving. Two babies later, I came across Yoni Shakti by Uma Dinsmore-Tooley and read about a wider focus on menstrual cycle awareness than fertility alone. I also read the novel The Red Tent by Anita Daimon and loved the idea of having regular female company after moving to a new town. At the time, the nearest red tent circle to me was in St. Albans, which was far too far away to attend with little children needing me. I decided to take the plunge and start my own. Although I had attended circles as part of workshops and retreats as a participant, I hadn't seen any workshops on how to facilitate one. I hoped that my experience of holding space as a yoga teacher would support me. At first, I invited friends, neighbours, and people in my yoga class to attend. I held it in one of the venues I taught yoga in, pushing the sofas together and bringing red, pink, and purple cushions and fabrics to transform the atmosphere of the place. The lights could be turned down. However, after a couple of sessions, I decided it just wasn't cozy enough, and the circle stayed in my living room for over a year. As the numbers grew, we moved to a yurt on the edge of a wood. With a wood stove, this created a special atmosphere, and we stayed there until the first lockdown of COVID. Then it went online through the pandemic, and 9 years later, in 2023, it's still going strong. And now, of course, it's 2026. I no longer call it a red tent, but we still often use the menstrual cycle or the lunar cycle as a way of orienting ourselves at the beginning of the circle. So my intention to learn about my menstrual cycle through others' experiences is still there, particularly as it shifts into perimenopause.
That's so lovely to hear, Tessa. A circle that's been going along for such a long time and is so well established. Yeah, it makes me smile because I've attended that circle now as well.
Yeah, I feel quite nostalgic reading that. How about you?
Yeah.
Do you want to read?
So I'm going to read from the first story that I share in the circle holding book. Circle story, the magic of arriving. The morning of the circle has arrived. I've prepared. The studio looks lovely. There's a blanket laid down in the center with oracle cards representing the maiden, crone, enchantress, and mothers. Alongside are yantra drawings of the geometric shapes of the yoga goddesses. There are dried fruits and dark chocolate in wooden bowls. Yoga mats are laid out in a circle around the centerpiece with blankets, bolsters, and meditation stools. Half an hour before the start, as invited, people begin to arrive. Everyone who has chosen to attend is a woman on her menopause journey. I welcome them and chat to each about their journey here. I'm joined by my co-circle holder. So we are calm in the knowledge that we are supporting each other as we hold space for others. We have time and space for everyone to arrive in good time and settle. The business of travelling across London to get here fades away, and I invite the group, including my co-circle holder, to lie down. We have arrived. Now is the time for settling. I invite the group to notice their breathing, the coolness of the air entering and the warmth of the air leaving, to gently acknowledge their bodies as they lie in the room, maybe the coolness on their face, or whether they can feel the material of their clothing against their bodies. I then invite them to bring their attention to their hearts. With their attention settled there, I open one of my favorite poetry books. The invitation is there to listen or not, as I share words that connect to the theme of our day together. On completion of the poem, I invite the group to bring themselves slowly up to a comfortable seated position, using whichever the props provided help to bring them into a place of comfort. I invite them to orient themselves in the room, to notice the open space outside with the birds cheeping, the space inside the room that has been laid out in honor of their presence, and to look around the room at each other, at each person who has chosen to have this time together. It is time for the circle to begin.
Oh, so atmospheric.
It reminds me of like we really, really care about creating our circle spaces, and the time, effort, and attention that we take to the preparation really matters to us. You were talking about your purple, red, and other color cushions, and that you cared so much about the atmosphere of where you were that you changed location. It matters.
And I remember a friend who I got to know through the circle, and she came to my house on a day it wasn't the circle and came into my living room, and she's like, oh, it looks so different. And she'd assumed I always had all these sort of red blankets and pink. I'm like, no, that is just for the circle, just to change the atmosphere.
Yeah. We've got a couple of other stories for you. So I'm going to pass back to you, Tessa, to share your next story.
Yeah, because another part of the book was thinking about potential first circle experiences, and it was quite hard for me to sort of pin it down because I don't think the places I went to were actually called a circle. But so I said I was always shy as a child. As a 16-year-old, I took my work experience at an architect's practice and would make the manager jump every time I went into his office. I would walk so silently up to the desk that he'd leap out of his seat when he glanced up. My teachers are unlikely to imagine I would have become a circle holder and leader. I don't remember exactly the very first time I was in a talking circle. It might have been at one of the women's retreats I went on during my 30s. The first circle I do clearly remember was part of a training around menstrual cycle awareness with Red School. And there were more than 20 women in the room with two facilitating. I remember the end of one day when we'd been diving deep into our experiences of the cycle and big emotions were coming up. We were doing a final circle before finishing for dinner, sharing how we were feeling and what we'd learned from the day. Now, in the past, I would have felt a mounting pressure to say the right thing, so I wouldn't be judged as being out of place. This time, I felt a deep acceptance of myself, and that it was okay not to know what to say, not to say anything if I didn't want to, and that the others could take or leave what I said. I didn't spend the time thinking about what I was going to say when it was my turn, but really listened to the others. When it was my turn, I paused, sensing into what it was exactly I was feeling. It wasn't particularly profound, but it was my truth at that moment in time. It was wonderful to feel authentically me. So this experience was enabled partly by the skilled facilitators and partly through the journey I'd been on through multiple circles to accept that I'm okay just as I am. So to anyone listening in that circle, it wouldn't have seemed like a pivotal moment, but it's after this I decided to run my own circle. I was ready. So hopefully by sharing my journey, you can see that being ready to facilitate is part of a process, often without a clear beginning or end.
That literally has given me goosebumps. That feeling of how special it is to be in a space where it's okay to speak. It doesn't need to be something profound or special, but that moment feels profound and special because of the permission that's been given to be exactly who we are without any masks.
I think often as humans, we're kind of looking for that big transformation. We want something amazing to happen, but sometimes it's just in the little moments that a shift can occur, and we never know when that's going to be. It's not every circle.
But also, I think it at every circle or at most circle, there I always I mean I just do feel great after a circle. I really do. I just feel, oh, these women are amazing, or these people are amazing. Sometimes it's a mixed group. And I think it's because we realize that everyone is amazing when they're given the opportunity to sit and be real and be themselves. In that space, it might not feel in the world that we're living in right now that everyone's amazing, but that potential to be authentically ourselves and relax into our sense of being is there and often manifests in circle.
And I think it can compound. So if somebody's going regularly to a circle, it's extremely life-affirming because you keep being witnessed and your words keep being shown to have value.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh, I know we're circle holder aficionados and we love circle, but that's our experience that we come back and we come back and we come back.
So, do you want to start and share your story about starting before you're ready? Because that's what we see a lot in trainings, isn't it? That people have felt the calling to run a circle, but there's nerves.
Yeah, I think that's why I shared this story. I once hosted a moon circle where the theme was start before you are ready. I'd become aware of my fear of doing things because of an innate feeling that I lacked the qualifications. I wanted to regain some of the fearlessness I had as a teenager and young woman, a time in life when many of us feel fearless because our prefrontal cortex is not yet fully developed and we're naturally seeking dopamine. The happy hormone, dopamine, is a primary driver of the brain's reward system. In the moon circle, participants looked at what held them back and drew and painted self-portraits. There were a wide variety of pictures created. Bravery was required to put pen to paper. None of us were artists. Once the pictures were drawn, we talked about how it felt to create the picture. By the end of the circle, The fears associated with feeling underqualified to take a step were addressed, and it was recognised that sometimes what is needed is bravery rather than qualifications. Attendees were then invited to remember their favourite teachers, those who not only knew their subject, but listened to you and had fun and fostered community. Those skills are needed far more than perfectionism or getting things right.
Absolutely.
So, Tessa, having reread your stories, is there anything that's coming up for you?
Well, before we were talking about, you know, one thing when the book's published, but there's all the writing and the process of going through the publishers. So those words were written quite a while ago. So yeah, since then I've done different kinds of circles, and it keeps evolving. I think that's what keeps it interesting, is that when you do circles with different kinds of people or in different settings, you have to change the group dynamic, how you're managing the group dynamic a little bit, or there might be different considerations. So I still feel I'm learning, even though I've got lots of experience.
Oh, I definitely feel the same. I'm actually actively choosing to put myself into situations where I'm holding circles where it feels unfamiliar or different. I'm doing a lot more circles with young people. I'm doing a lot more circles with people of completely different demographics being brought together. So men of different generations, women of different generations, like all different religions, different socioeconomic backgrounds in a melting pot together. And I think the circles that I ran originally were much more, I think the word is homogeneous. And I'm loving that because I'm meeting people that I would never imagine meeting.
That's what I think is lovely about the book, is that there are different stories from really diverse facilitators. And stories are something that I use a lot in circles. So it tends to be either a poem that I'll use towards the beginning of the circle, so I kind of set a more reflective tone, or I might find a little story that just really connects with the topic that I've decided on for that circle. And one book that comes to mind, with Women Who Run With Wolves. Now, those stories tend to be quite long, so I tend to kind of take a little excerpt out of them. But I've got other books that are, like even children's books, that work really well to read in an adult circle, that just capture the essence of something. And it just helps, I think, get the talking flowing. So I'd love it if people kind of use the stories in our book in that way.
We've shared our stories here, but in the book, like you said, Tessa, there are lots of different stories where all sorts of different voices are heard. We wanted it to feel like whoever you are, there's a story that relates to your experience in the book. Thank you so much for joining us this week at the Circle Holding Podcast.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding Podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.